Now let's come to the Word of God this morning, please. John's Gospel and the chapter 6. John's Gospel and the 6th chapter, please. Out of the 4 Sundays in this month, I'm here for 3 of them. Kyle will be taking the other. And over the 3 Sundays that, God willing, I'll be here, we want us to look at God's anonymous assistants. Some people that are mentioned in the Word of God, we don't know their name. And there may only be reference to for 1 or 2 verses, but we're very influential in the way that God used them. And so we're coming to the first one this morning, John chapter 6. And we'll read together from the verse number 1, please. The Word of God says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread isn't sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Amen. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Here is someone that contributed to the only miracle recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Someone who was in the right place at the right time and gave his all to the Lord Jesus Christ and saw a great blessing result from his giving. And we don't even know his name. We may never know his name until perhaps he is in the glory and we meet him in eternity. And from that we see that this young lad that's mentioned here, who gave these 5 loaves and 2 fish to the Saviour, didn't serve for recognition. He didn't serve for his name to be written down in folklore or to be even written down in the Gospels. He didn't hound the disciple John that day and told him to make sure that his name was included as he wrote this record of the miracle. He simply gave his all to the Lord because of the burden that was on his heart that day. To hand over everything that he had in his possession that the Lord God may use it as he saw fit. I wonder this morning, is God asking someone to offer his all to him? Is there someone anonymous here this morning? And perhaps they've been serving God for a while in the background. Is God asking you to keep on doing it? Even if it's not recognized this side of eternity. Does the Lord want to encourage one this morning and even challenge others as well to give their all to him? See how the Lord used this young person for his purposes. We're looking at the anonymous provider this morning. Look at the person that Jesus uses here. In the verse 9, John tells us that Andrew said it was a lad that had these 5 barley loaves and these 2 small fish. Again, this is the only mention that we have of him in the record of this miracle. And all the other gospel accounts mention the same. They don't give a lot about what he looked like or who he was as a person. Just simply told here that he was a lad. And so we see that he was somebody who was small, somebody who was young, somebody who very easily hid in the background of that multitude. Someone who didn't stand out, someone who wasn't head and shoulders above the rest. Even if he put his hand up to volunteer, nobody would have seen him. That's how small and how young he was here. The word that's used for lad means a young child, it means a wee boy. Someone who was of primary school age in our day and our age, indeed in their day. And their age as well. There's no doubting how small this young lad was, or how young this young lad was. But even someone like that, God was very happy to use. And God was happy to have him in the crowd that day. And Christ was happy to accept whatever that young lad gave to him. Young believer this morning, regardless of how young you are or what age you are, if the Lord starts calling you, whether it's in these days or if it's in the days to come, let no man despise thy youth. As Paul encouraged young Timothy, who was only starting out in his ministry, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Young believer this morning, be as much as an example to the world of what it means to be a child of God, as someone who's been saved for many years. The areas and the spheres of influence that God has placed you in, he has you there for a reason. And he can still use you. There's only people that you can reach that I can't. There's people I can reach that you can't. There's people sitting beside you, and there's people they can reach but you can't. And God has placed each and every one of us in particular spheres of influence, particular interests that we have, particular activities that we're involved in. And I know it's hard to believe in Northern Ireland in 2023, but you and I may well be the only genuine gospel influence they have. See how God can use anyone who has given themselves over to him. Anyone who's saved, the Lord can use them as a light. The Lord can use them regardless of how young they are. Somebody once said that God will use someone who's immature but is willing before someone who's right and is proud about it. Remember, Peter said, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Young believer this morning, God will use you wherever you are. Are you open to him leading you and guiding you? Are you open to him just giving you that word in season? Indeed, this applies to all believers this morning. Here's someone who didn't really stand out. Here's someone who was small in stature. If you were to ask the multitude that day of who would be most likely to be used of God here in such a powerful way, this young lad would be well down the list. But even though he was small here, as we read about him in the Word of God, he was willing. He may have been small, but he was willing. And that is why the Lord used him and used all he had to offer. Because Andrew didn't have to snatch the loaves and the fishes off this young lad. Andrew didn't say to the young lad, do you not think you should do something here? This young lad, you can picture him pushing through the crowd and tugging at the coat of Andrew and just handing him over this little basket that he has with his packed lunch in it of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And he just very simply and very humbly hands it over to Andrew, who in turn hands it over to the Lord. May all this multitude were hungry in that moment, including this young lad. He had his own hunger. He could have very simply kept it to himself and trusted some of the bigger people, some of the older people, to take care of him. But as he sees no one else stand up, and as he sees no one else volunteer, as he sees some of those older ones perhaps keep their sandwiches in their back pockets, hoping somebody else stands up, and they'll be the last resort. If nobody else wants to volunteer, then they'll just reluctantly push themselves to the front. But he steps up. And he has such a reliance on the Lord, he has such a surrender to God, that would have put some of those older people in the crowd that day to shame. Here's a young lad who was so willing to even give up what was given to him, something that would have satisfied his own need. But he was so willing to give his all to the Lord, he gave up that thing that could have satisfied him. He surrendered all he had to the Master's use. You know, Paul challenged the believers in Rome, and so the Word of God challenges us this morning. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Believer, this morning, God isn't just calling for a little bit. He's not calling for a couple of hours in the week. As great as it is to serve the Lord, and as perhaps they are the opportunities that we have to serve him, that's not all that the Lord wants. He says to give our all over to him. Are you only giving him some this morning? Are you willing to give him a portion and keep the rest for yourself, whatever time, whatever opportunities, whatever finance, whatever other things there may be you can give to him? Have you surrendered it all to his use? Do you trust in him? Do you have that obedience to propose all to the Master? Because this young lad did this, and this young lad didn't know what would happen. He hadn't read about this miracle before, he didn't have a copy of the Gospel of John and was able to read of this and think to himself, well, if he did it back then, he'll be able to do it for me. This young lad had such blind faith. He didn't know what was going to happen. And as he hands his all over to the Lord, in his heart, he has such a wonderful mindset. If he gets a crumb, that's a bonus. As long as everyone else is fed, then God will do what he sees fit. Such surrender. This young lad had such faith. This young lad will have. See how willing he was to provide for the master's use. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Believer, do you trust that whenever you give it all to him, you'll see it back again? Do you trust that God will use all that you've given him, and that he'll still undertake for you, that he'll still see you through? Is he asking you to step out in faith this morning? Well, there is those strains that we feel in these days. The people are finding it tight and people are finding it tough. But will you trust in God if he asks you to give up more, that he will still undertake and still provide for his people? See the person that God used here. See then, secondly, the possessions that God used here as well. Because as we see that the lad was small, we see that his portion was even small as well. There's a lad here in the verse 9 which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And as Andrew poses the question, what are they among so many? Here he only had 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. And this is what this young lad has handed over to the Lord to feed at least 5,000 people. That's only including the men, that number of the 5,000. So we could estimate that there was at least 10,000 people with him. And this seems incredibly insufficient for what the problem is. Could you picture the next family and friends night that we'll have here in the church? And sitting at the back table out in the porch was just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that's for probably 200 here at the most. Never mind 10,000. See how small this was. This was a lunch that was just for one young boy. Never mind a great multitude of 10,000 people. And yet that is the very thing the Lord used. Something that was so small in the eyes of the disciples. Something that was so small in the eyes of that multitude. Even that, whenever it was handed over to the Lord, was used in such a mighty and such a powerful way. How prone we are at times to underestimating what God can do with those little things that we have in our lives. How quick we are to put away some things and be convinced that God will never want to use them because they're just so small. Remember the little widow woman that Elijah met? Elijah asked her just for a cake. He just asked her for something small to eat on. And she didn't even have that. She says, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel. And a little oil and a cruse, and she was gathering 2 sticks just for a little meal for her and her son, that we may eat it and die. That's all she had, a handful of meal. You throw it out in the field and you wouldn't even give it a second thought. That's all she had. But whenever she gave it over to Elijah, when she gave it over to the man of God, that oil and meal never passed away. Again, believer, is there only little that you have? Is there only enough that's even getting you by? Whether it be time or whether it be resources again, whether it be opportunities, whatever it may be, have you still given him what you can? Remember the woman that came with the alabaster jar and anointed the Savior. And Christ commanded her and he said of her, she has done what she could. She has done what she could. Can you put your head on the pillow each night, child of God? Look back over what we've done for the Savior that day and say, I've just done what I could. Regardless of how small it was, regardless of how influential or not it seemed to be, do we do what we can? Have I done what I can? See how small this was here, and yet the Lord was able to use it. See how simple it was as well. Not just the fact that it was small, but it was simple. This wasn't an extravagant banquet. This wasn't the richest of foods. You know, there's some things you can eat. You take a forkful of them and you're already feeling full. These things that this young lad presents are far from that. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, not even loaves of wheat, which were richer and which were fuller. But these were barley loaves. Those sort of loaves that just fall apart in your hand before they've even reached your mouth. And that's what he gives over to the Lord, and that's what God was willing to use. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. You take a bite of a steak, it gives you longer than a bite out of a fish. There's a lot more to it. But this is all this young lad has. Something so small and something so simple. He hands it over to the Lord. And as we'll see in a few moments' time, how the Lord used it mightily. And that's a great lesson. And it's a great reminder. It's a great comfort for us as God's people. And we see it right throughout the Word of God. God doesn't always demand the glamorous things. He doesn't always demand the brightest things or the most attractive things, but how he uses those simple things in order to show forth his glory and to show forth his power. Remember, Moses was called to stand before Pharaoh. And as God was speaking to Moses out of the burning bush, and he was showing Moses what miracles he could use to display God's power, he said to Moses at the burning bush, "What is that in thine hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." All he had was a shepherd's crook. And the Lord used that shepherd crook to show to Pharaoh that there was a living God of the people of Israel. Believer, this morning, is God asking you this morning, what is in thine hand? Again, however small it might seem, however simple it might seem, what is in thine hand? What has God given you? Where has God placed you? Again, perhaps in areas that only you can reach. Have you written off those things that just seem so small, that just seem so simple, that just seem so insignificant? When they're the very things that God is happy to use, that God is pleased to use. Will you trust him in the days ahead? If he asks you to give them all over to him, those little things and all, will you hand them all and see what he can do? These are small and simple things. They were so small and so simple that they were also scoffed at. Because we see the question that Andrew asked there at the verse 19. There's a lad here which hath 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Here Andrew didn't even think they were worth using. And as this is brought to the disciples, and as the Savior sees this basket out of the corner of his eye, Andrew isn't even of the mindset that this is better than nothing. Andrew doesn't say, well, at least a handful of people are going to get fed, and we'll have sorted them out, and they can go home. And we'll sort the rest of the multitude out here as perhaps some other things happen. From Andrew's point of view, this almost seemed like an insult. That it was just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. That it wasn't even worth a suggestion. What are they among so many? How the devil can ask that question and get that question into the hearts and the men and the minds of God's people? How there's been many a child of God willing to serve him, even with the little that they've had. And the devil has very quickly come in and said, "What's that among so many?" Wonder, believer, this morning, is the devil pointing you at some other people that serve? And he's putting you down because you can't even offer that much. Has the devil put you down because of comparison whenever it comes to serving the Lord and coming to work for the kingdom? Has he put you down for even the little perhaps that you can offer? Even the little that you're willing to offer. But then the devil has come and he said, "What's that among so many?" Whenever the second temple was being rebuilt after the captives returned from Babylon, it says in Ezra chapter 3 that whenever the foundations of the second house were being laid, many of the priests and the Levites that had seen the first house before their eyes wept with a loud voice. And many shouted for joy. And Ezra says you couldn't distinguish between those who were weeping and those who were rejoicing. The older men, the older priests and Levites had seen the glory of the first house and they saw this second temple being built. It just didn't seem to see him. And their hearts were broke over it. They didn't even think it was going to be worth using. And what was the challenge God gave to them in Zechariah chapter 4? Who has despised the day of small things? Believer, this morning, there may be those that you meet that despise the day of small things. Even other believers that may despise the day of small things. Someone said, one man's reward is another man's rebuke. And the Lord will bless those that give him little over those that withhold that have much. And one man's reward for his service, even in little, is another man's rebuke for doing nothing and serving him. Keep on going. The Lord will encourage those that serve him, even if it is small and simple, even if it is scoffed at. How the Lord will use it, and he will thank his people for it. See the person that God used, the possessions that God used. See the problem that is in the eyes of the disciples, because not only in John's record, but in all the other records, the problems that are facing the disciples just seem so greater than anything God can do. And the disciples are thinking of what they can do in this scenario from a totally material point of view. And there's different reasons that we see here in these verses and in one of the other records as well as to why the disciples didn't think God could do anything. And it all stems from a lack of faith. Because Philip is worried about the price of these things. Philip answered in the verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread isn't sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Here Philip is worried about the cost of sorting all this out. He's worried about the finances. He's worried about the practicalities. 200 penny worth of bread was 200 denarii. And in the times of the apostles, this was about 8 months' wages. And Philip's amazed that Christ would even suggest that someone would give up 8 months' worth of wages so that these people could be fed. Oh, the practicalities were an issue. All those things were an issue to Philip. And they clouded his judgment and they blocked his mind as to what Christ could actually do. Remember in verse 5, it says, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And in verse 6, he says, this he said to prove him or to test him. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip, if his heart was in tune with God, could have turned round to the Lord and said, Lord, this would take 200 penny worth of bread, but you're able to do it. But Philip's so clouded with the practicalities of what this would mean that his faith is blinded. And his heart is blinded to what God will do for him. You know, Jesus had taught his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount about how God will provide for his people. How God undertakes for his people. Matthew 6 and verse 30. If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Christ reminded his disciples that day, if God can take care of his creation, will he not much more take care of you and take care of me? Will he not undertake and will he not provide? Even if the practicality seemed so much, Philip was worried about the cost. He was worried about the provision as well. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Here, Philip's faith is so blinded that it's not just that he doesn't believe that God's able to provide for these 5,000 people, but his faith is so small at this moment that Philip thinks even if God does provide for this multitude, they're only going to get crumbs. They're only all going to take a little bit. And there's no real point doing it if they're only going to get crumbs. See how all of these things have blinded the eyes of Philip and the rest of the disciples? Psalm 34 in the verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You'll never lack, believer. Think of David as he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he knew that good shepherd would provide for him every step of life's journey. And whenever God promises to provide for his people, he will provide for his people. And how he is not the God of the bare minimum, but he's the God of abundance. And we see that here in that miracle. Here Philip could only fathom each of these people taking a crumb. And then having to go home and make themselves another dinner. How Philip couldn't really grasp what the Lord was about to do. How they were concerned with the price, how they were concerned with the provision. Some of them were even concerned about PR, about how it would look, and how they would be perceived if the whole thing fell flat on its face. In Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 14, it says, when it was come evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Christ told the disciples, there's enough here for them all to eat. But the disciples were so concerned about what would happen if it didn't work out, that they'd rather send the people away than to even try and live in fear. Again, we think of Solomon in Proverbs 29. Fear, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. How God's people can sometimes be gripped with fear because of how things will be perceived if it doesn't work out. So concerned about what failure would mean that they would rather trust in themselves than trust in God. That we're trying to limit as much damage as possible rather than see what God can do. Could you imagine if Christ just accepted these demands of the disciples and sent the multitude home? What a miracle would have been lost that day. But remember, it says of Jesus in Nazareth, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. How much more Christ was willing to do. But because of their unbelief, he wouldn't work. I wonder, child of God, this morning, how much has God been willing to do? But because of how you thought it would be perceived if it didn't work, you've missed out on it. Will you trust in the Lord to undertake? Trust in the Lord to see through, even if everything seems to be against you. Even if the whole world is opposed to the idea, even if other believers are opposed to the idea. If God has laid it on your heart, will you see it through? And trust that he will undertake, that he will provide in due season. Because as we've read there in the verse 6, Jesus has challenged these disciples. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And that is such a comfort to us as God's people. Whenever the world is just turned upside down, and whenever there's so many obstacles that come across our path, whenever there's unexpected opposition to what we perceive to be the plans and the purposes of God, for he himself knew what he would do. Believer, God already knows what he's going to do. You know, this day Christ wasn't surprised at the lack of food that there was. And whenever this young lad came with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Christ wasn't expecting anything more. But he himself knew what he would do. And how he would powerfully provide. And how he would powerfully use even this little that was given to him. Malachi chapter 3 is one of the rare times in Scripture where God openly challenges his people to challenge him. And he told his Old Testament people, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Do you think you're outsourcing the Lord this morning? Is the Lord calling you to do more and you think that you'll not get as much back? Do you think you're doing more work than the Lord today? How he will meet our need. How he matches our giving and even more. Again, he's not the God of the bare minimum, but he is the God of abundance. And we think of that challenge that he laid before those people in Malachi chapter 3, that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Here we see that there was 12 basket loads left over out of 5 barley loaves and 2 small dead fish. 12 baskets full, even after 10,000 people were fed. Oh, how God meets us at our needs. How whenever we give our all over to him, we can be sure that he will not let us suffer or lack any good thing. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. We've looked at the person and the possessions. We've seen the problems from the eyes of the disciples. Look lastly this morning at the power that God displays here. Again, considering all that was given to the Savior, these 5 barley loaves and these 2 small fish, see first of all that it was taken. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves. Jesus took this small thing. Jesus took this simple thing. Jesus took this thing that was scoffed at from other disciples. He happily took it. And he used it for his work. Again, believer this morning, as other believers even put you down, have you been discouraged in your service for the Lord? As you look at others and what they can do you just feel like yours doesn't really match up? Oh, how greatly encouraged we can be in the words of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 26, Paul reminds the believers in Corinth. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised as God chosen, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Believer this morning, God is willing to use clean vessels. He's happy to use willing vessels. But he's happy to use small vessels. He's happy to use anything that's handed over to him. Regardless of how small and how simple it may seem. If he's calling you to do something for him, will you trust him? Remember, as we've considered the life of David over the past few months, how man looks at the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And he knows your heart this morning. He knows all you have. And still he's asked you to give it over to him. See how the Lord took the loaves. See how he thanked for the loaves. Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. How he didn't just use the supplies of this young lad, but he thanked the Father for them. Child of God this morning, whatever it is we hand over to him, how he thanks us for it. God is not ignorant of the giving of his people. He's not ignorant of the sacrifices that his people make. Remember, we read in Scripture, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. How the Lord loves it, and it thrills the heart of God whenever his people step up and just hand their all over to him. How it thrills his heart because he knows the trust and the dependence that we have on him. How he cherishes those that step out for him. Think of that great parable that Christ told about the servants, how after a lifetime of service and a lifetime of work, he says to his two servants, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. That old hymn, only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God, only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God. Friend, this morning, don't miss out on the well done of God through doubts. Through lack of, whether it be of the price of things, whether it be about the provision of things, whether it be about how it's perceived, don't miss out on the well done of God. Don't miss out on the blessing or the reward in heaven for what could have been given for that thing that could have been done. See how God thanks and gives thanks for those things that are handed over to him. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as they would. Look at the beginning of verse 12. When they were filled. Remember Philip's problem. Philip's reason of doubts. That everyone may take a little. Here in the verse 12, they're filled. And they're not just filled. But the disciples filled 12 baskets with the fragments of these 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And as Andrew sees each basket come back, as Andrew sees more fragments being put into each basket, how that question of his must have caused him to look silly. What are these among so many? Believer, do you look back over how God has used those little things? Do you see how God has used you even in those small things that other people don't even know about? Those things that you handed over to him, perhaps begrudgingly, thinking like Andrew, what are these among so many? Oh, how the scriptures teach us how little is much when God is in it. And how powerfully God can use how mightily God can use even the little that is handed over in faith and in trust to him. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 in the verse 20, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. As we close this morning, how often we can doubt his ability. How often we can limit the influence and the power that God can have. Whether it be in our own lives, or whether it be in the lives of others that he's called us to serve alongside. See this anonymous provider this morning. Don't know his name. Don't know anything about him other than he was young. But see how mightily God used him. Because of a little life, just given over to him in such trust and such obedience. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our God and our Father, we give thanks for thy word this morning. Lord, it's a comfort, but it's also a challenge to us as God's people. How you're willing to use those smaller things. Those insignificant things, those things that we easily forget about. And it's those very things that you use for your purposes. Lord, just make us aware of those little things that we have. Make us aware of those small things that we've written off. Those things that someday perhaps you call us to hand over to you. Not to doubt, but only believing. Father, in days ahead, with a life fully submitted, we see, or we trust we'll see such powerful things as we attempt great things for God and expect great things from him. So, Lord, we ask it all in the Savior's name. Amen. Let's just sing as we bring this part of the meeting to a close. It's 607 if you're using the hymn books. 607, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily live. We'll just sing the verses 1, 2, and 5, please. 1, 2, and 5, and we'll stand together as we sing.